Welcome to Money Matters TV. I'm your host, Patty Tuadros. My co-host today is Paul Mitchell, and we have a great show for you today, including an Indonesian indie fashion designer you don't want to miss. It's good to see you, Paul.
Good to see you, Patty.
Yeah.
So you're a social media expert, and social media has been a lot in the news recently.
Oh my gosh, it really has.
A lot of negative stuff in particular. And it's such a big thing now. I mean, I keep thinking, and I'm sure our viewers would be interested, how do you deal with all this? How do you make sure that you don't get caught in social media, or if it does happen, how do you take care of it, or all this stuff?
You know what I tell clients who don't want to be involved in social media at all? Oh, I'm not going to do that. I don't want to have a Facebook page or Instagram profile. I said, it doesn't matter if you don't want to do it. Your client, your customers, clients, whoever, they have it and they're talking about you already. So you need to get into the conversation so that you can try and direct it the direction it needs to go, answer questions.
Or somebody has a cell phone with video on.
Oh, that's dangerous. Everyone has that
and
now.
You do something by accident, you're in the wrong place, or you act a little poorly for whatever reason, that type of thing. The next thing you know, it goes viral.
Yeah, it does. There were a couple of those recently here in Philadelphia.
Yeah. That's nasty stuff and all.
Yeah.
So despite all the positive things about social media, there seems to be enough negative ones too that you really have to be careful.
Yeah, you know, people say cameras are everywhere and somebody's watching you at all times. You can't do anything dumb anymore.
Yeah. Well, I always thought that if you travel, two things. One, you shouldn't be taking pictures of other people without their express permission, whether it's a little kid or the man or the woman standing around or something. That's invasion of privacy. And number two, that if somebody videos you, they're invading your privacy. That's supposed to be, I thought, illegal or unethical or on something or other. But now it just seems to be just the way it is.
You know, it's interesting. I have clients when they do photo shoots, they get releases. And if they go into a public place and there's people at tables, they make them sign a release or they blur their face out. You see that on TV where they blur someone's face out. But at the same time, if they're not making money, maybe they can do it. Like when you watch the news, people are on there that haven't agreed to, especially embarrassing clips where they talk about, you know, people being overweight, and then they show women from the waist down and men from the waist down or big bellies or really, you know, embarrassing photos. Mm-hmm. Those people didn't sign on for that.
Yeah. Or demonstrators, whether it's march in Washington or something at a local in a city or something like that. So you're everywhere, and your picture can be everywhere in social media.
And it can change your life overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. For the positive for some people, but mostly for the negative.
Yeah. So what do people do then? What should they do? Is there a way to get rid of it?
It depends. You can't really get rid of it. If you posted it yourself, you can at least try and do the damage control of removing it.
Mm-hmm.
But people have screenshotted it. They've put it on forums like Reddit, they've posted it to their own page, it's made it to news sites like Mashable, and suddenly it's all over the world.
And it doesn't ever disappear.
No,
it's there
it doesn't.
Somewhere.
I know the big national one with Kathy Griffin, she deleted all those images, but
too late.
You can watch that all day long if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
You can't rid of embarrassing stuff. I think the best way to handle it, in my opinion, not as a professional social media person, but that you just need to go forward and apologize and say that you acted like a fool.
Mm-hmm.
You were drinking too much, you're embarrassed, or you did something that was in poor taste.
Yeah.
And in retrospect, I can see that.
You're just a human being, and humans are frail.
Yeah.
And make mistakes.
And for some things, it's gone in two or three news cycles, and some things, by the time those news cycles have passed, you've also lost your job.
Yeah.
Which I know that happened to a couple of those people that were on the news recently.
Yeah. So, and just be careful if you're in public out there, you know, outside your four walls of your castle.
There was a photographer in Philadelphia. I think they were sort of more amateur photographer, and they had a photo exhibit, and they did photos of people eating at outside cafes in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't lovely photos of people staged looking nice.
No.
They were photos of people jamming giant sandwiches in their faces. Mm-hmm. I would be so upset if I walked into a gallery and saw myself like that.
Well, it reminds me of when they panned the crowd in a baseball game or a football game. And
somebody's doing something dumb.
Yeah, right.
One time I was on the Kiss Cam on the Phillies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Congratulations, yeah. I guess. So that'll be there forever.
Yeah. I have never seen it in real life. Uh-huh. You know, once it was on TV, I never saw the clip. But yeah, that stuff just sticks around. It follows you around.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful.
We do have a great guest.
I know. We're going to like jump ahead to...
Yeah, I think we should devote as much time as possible.
All right. Well, let's start with a viewer question.
Sure.
All right. So this is from Lena G. in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. How can I avoid the little and not so little bank charges?
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I'm a longtime commercial banker. I've been commercial banking since the 70s. And even the charges back then weren't so little. And I was a branch manager, and we would get our monthly financial report, and one of the big income generators was those overdraft fees. So 30 years ago, overdraft fees could still be $27 per check. And you know, we could refund them, especially people maybe they're innocently, you know, they forgot to do something and they got five of those charges, you know, within 2 days. Refund some of them, but you know, have them but still stick, which is still a lot of money. So I understand the consequences of those charges and all. There are two main things in dealing with all these different charges. One is, unfortunately, reading the fine print, asking you know very detailed questions with your banker when you open an account, or even periodically. These things change frequently, and generally the charges are going to go up. But I would make it a point. Maybe send an email to the customer service people someplace that will give you a detailed answer, you know, what the charges will be, what's the status of your current account. People open accounts, it's a free account, you know, the charges are going to be minimal, that type of thing. They think forever, and then maybe the bank gets bought by some other bank, and now it's not the same old bank, and all those types of things. Asking a lot of questions. Yeah, reading the fine print, I'm sorry. You're responsible for that. Of course, the other thing is understanding what the general rules are, the big fees, the main fees you might run into up front. Different banks have different policies, especially whether it's a free checking account, whether you maintain a minimum with no minimum balance required. Now, there are banks that do that, generally local community banks. You can check around. Larger banks aren't quite as liberal with that, though sometimes they have a senior account. Check it out. Nothing wrong with saying, "Hey, I'm a senior. Here's my driver's license. I'd like to take advantage of this deal." So what kind of charges might you run into? Minimum balance requirement. It's free checking. You just have to maintain $1,000 on average, $10,000 on average. You have to have your paycheck or some other kind of a check automatically deposited every month. It gets pretty complicated. So ask the questions of the banker. You got to read the fine print. It's probably not going to go away, but check around. Just like any kind of business, they vary from time to time. They may all look the same, but if you really get underneath the covers and stuff, you can see some differences and find out which is the best bank for you. It's a good question. We all have to deal with it. Thanks.
I think a good point is if people do accidentally make a mistake and they get an overdraft.
Or any kind of charge.
To call and ask for if a they
refund.
Would give it back to you.
An explanation. No, I personally had a situation where I did a stop payment. I was concerned about this check coming through or whatever, trying to stop a previously monthly charge in my account.
Mm-hmm.
And if I stopped the payment, it was going to be $30. If I let it go and overdrew my account, it was going to be $35. And the person at the branch said, "We'll take care of it. It's okay." So that's the other best advice.
Personal touch.
Yeah, and once or twice, but if it becomes a pattern, and they have ways of checking how many times that happens. So, but once or twice, yeah.
Okay, great. And if you have questions and you want to send them into Money Matters, here's how to do it.
You can have your questions answered on Money Matters. Please go to our website, money-matterstv.com. On our homepage, click on the banner on the right that says, "Send us your questions." While you're on our website, you can find information about our host and guests, as well as show notes and links about this show and past shows. Money Matters is also available as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, so you can listen to Money Matters while you're on the go. That website address, again, is money, M-O-N-E-Y, -matters, M-A-T-T-E-R-S, TV.com.
So our upcoming guest, her name is Matrini Sumatu Peng, which I'm sure that I destroyed her name in some way. But she is an indie fashion designer, and we are lucky enough to see a clip of her showing at New York Fashion Week. So take a look. Super impressive.
Thank you. Nice
to meet you, Matrini.
Thank you. Thank you for having me as your guest for the Money Matters.
Yeah. So how did you get into this business?
Well, it's not easy. I used to live in Philadelphia, and I took fashion studies at Moore College, Art and Design. And, you know, in the classes, we do the mood board, kind of those stuff, you know, how to know about the fashion. So then I come up with, you know, creating the one of collections, and I've been thinking about, you know, a cocktail dresses or special events. So then I come up with the theme of Meet the Millennials. So, and then it started, you know, with the younger generations, you know, I kind of like learning from the baby boomers, and then we kind of like having buzzwords about Meet the Millennials. So I guess, let's try to do this. So then, you know, then from there, I started, you know, to learn more about, you know, the style in American way, but also how to bring my own heritage. Like I'm from Indonesia, and how to mix them together.
Yeah. Is that what you're wearing now? One of your own designs?
Yeah, this is the, we call it, name is an Ulos, which is from North Sumatra, from Batak tribe. So if you ever drink coffee from Sumatra, so then you met with the person, the native person. And these are the cloth that we usually as a tapestry. But now I'm thinking how to bring the pattern and also the characters of the fabrics into a wearable.
It's so beautiful.
Thank you.
What is your background there, the drums and all? What's
so this
that?
Is a drum, we call it a gondang. And usually in our traditions, we used to have a music performance, such as in the wedding or funerals. And also if somebody have a celebration of harvesting, you know, we kind of like from agriculture in a way. Mm-hmm. So then people, we get together and then having the musical percussion most likely, and having the drum get along with some of the flute and also another ensemble. So this is very artistic. I mean, like it's original. It has been shipped coming to the, you know, to United States. And this is the community belong, we call it a Parsadon Bangsa Batak, which is like the community of Bataknis in Washington, D.C. area.
I see the name there, yes. So somebody doesn't walk into a music shop in Sumatra and buy this.
Yeah, they can. Then they need to do the shipping because it's a big one, right? Like if you heard about Javanese music ensemble from Gamelan, and then each of the other tribe, and this is from Bataknis, and you know, the kind of similar concept. Yeah.
So how did you get to show in New York Fashion Week? That's a very prestigious, very prestigious opportunity.
Yeah, first of all, I got opportunity to attend the they call it a pageant show. Which is they call as a Miss Grand International. So then there is one of the Miss from the Luxembourg would like to highlight my dresses. So then, you know, I came there, and in Las Vegas, it was last year. and you know, showing case, and from there, you know, networkings, and then they introduced me, you know, to go to the New York Fashion Week to show my products.
Well, how many other fashion people were at Las Vegas? Hundreds?
A lot.
Yeah, I mean, how'd, how'd you get picked? I mean, that's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, we're super impressed.
I guess what I'm trying to bring, for some reason, they would like to see like independent designer that based on in US, since the Miss Grand International hosted in Las Vegas for the first time. Mm-hmm. They used to be in other Asian countries such as in Thailand, but now, you know, they're doing in Vegas, and they would like to find, you know, the independent designer from United States. Not like a big name, because I'm still a newbie here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, how many years have you been in the business?
I started in the business by law, it's like 2014, you know, register, you know, having, I put in under the name of Batak Bule Enterprises. Mm-hmm. I carry the label name is Bataks. Yeah, you show your previous talking conversations about social media, and then we try to get into the social media, you know, Instagram, Facebook, and, you know, e-commerce for the website, yeah.
So what does Bataks mean?
Batak is the name of my tribe.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I kind of like make a X at the end. It's sort of like a futuristic in a way.
I like
and
that.
Yeah, and then, you know, like right now, what I learned from the U.S. in terms of business, you need to have like a catchy name.
Yes.
And then make it like as short possible, and it has a simple possible, but then it has a meaning behind it. Mm-hmm. So then I've been thinking, and then I come up with the name of Batak as my tribe name.
Yes.
But then I changed a spelling, B-A-T-A-X. So Batak is my private label.
So when you got invited to New York Fashion Week, did you already have an entire collection ready?
Yeah, I had like, well, when you go to the runway, there is requirements for the designers at least showing 20 until 25 pieces of garments. So, you know, from the collections, I get into your, when I was in the school, I started with the year like 10 of them, mm-hmm. and I did the fashion show at the old district here, Old City, and then they highlight a couple of my dresses, but I was like, you know, not sure, you know, whether it you know, it come off with the taste in Northeast, mm-hmm. because my color is very bright, you know, like colorful, maybe because it's coming from where I came from, like tropical country from Indonesia. So then after that, I adding more, another 10. So I have a, you know, like a modern for the cocktail dresses and special occasion, and then I add more on the ethnic fabrics from Indonesia, such as from my tribe, ulos, like I'm wearing right now, mm-hmm. and also there's batik, which is from Javanese.
Yes.
It becomes famous and popular after UNESCO at the World Heritage, mm-hmm. and then I add more from Bali, they call it rang rang. So these are the fabrics that usually came with the ceremony or tradition, but I bring to the different level into the dresses.
So you're actually importing the fabric from Indonesia?
The original one, I got it from Indonesia, but I get the mixed fabrics, you know, like the solid color, mm-hmm. is from the US. And I try to make a business model of made in USA, you know, doing manufacturing here.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, honoring where the fabric's heritage coming from, mm-hmm. because most of them like hand looming,
yes.
and also like waxing dyeing system with the batik. So kind of like bringing the originality. And it's not easy because, you know, there's the price point too that we cannot compete with the mass production from China, you know. So try to bring it back to made in United States or made in America at the same time, you know, bring the culture and identity.
So if I want to buy a dress now, what would I do?
Not for you, right?
Not for me.
Hey, no, allegedly.
So we can do direct from our website, and also we do some retail boutique in such as a co-op. Right now we're doing in DC, and you know, previous year when I live in Philadelphia, I have a co-op here in Old City, mm-hmm. and also some in the Walnut Street. So that kind of a co-op independent designer space, and yeah, hopefully, you know, when I, you know, pretty sure about the boutique is settled, then eventually I'm gonna have like boutique here in either in DC or in New York.
Yeah.
But you know, it's a tough business when we do have brick and mortar system. So I'm kind of trying to find out a different kind of business model.
So your demographic, is it millennial?
Yes, it's at the age of 18 until 28, and then the second batch is like 29 until 39, mm-hmm. because I do have a, you know, like a very formal but not formal in a way, like a shorter for the cocktail dresses, mm-hmm. which is like more than like junior type thing. And then there's like evening wear, which is like a longer one, which is more likely like people that have been in the job and offices, you know, they have like, you know, special event like mm-hmm. wining or dining, you know, garden party. It's kind of like more spring and summer collections in a way. But I think in the fall or, you know, during winter, people can get their coat, I guess, and still warmer because there's a lot of heater in the restaurant, I mean, in a party.
Yeah.
So
why D.C.? You mentioned D.C. a couple times.
Right now, I live in D.C. and I expand a different market because D.C. is sort of like close to Maryland area and also mm-hmm. Virginia. So I kind of like try to get more international exposure because a lot of embassy there, international mm-hmm. organizations, people need, you know, there's a lot of partying, you know, like formal or informal, you know, politics.
All the lobbyists,
right, mm-hmm. yeah. So I kind of like try to different markets before, you know, before I moved to West Coast.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you were also in fashion show in D.C., right?
Yes, in D.C. Fashion Week that, they highlight me as emerging designer. So, well.
Were you happy about that? You don't?
Well, it's kind of a new cutting edge term, you know, like why we call this emerging. I guess it makes sense because there is not like, it's not like fully couture. That's how the traditional of the fashion world. But then they're like bringing something new taste in the market. So they call this like emerging designer. That, yeah.
And you brought a clip for that, right?
Yes, I got the clips, and I hope the audience can see and enjoy the clips. Yeah.
Great. Why don't we play that? Maybe you can tell us about the dresses that come out.
Sure. So the dresses that I'm doing, like this one, is more likely for the garden party. It has a it's a modern style, but in Indonesia, usually we cannot do like a sleeveless like this. But I would like to have in in American market, they would like to see, you know, the body and also how, you know, how brave you are and confidence with the dresses. And this is more like, I call this a jasmine dress. I name my dresses. And then the other clips, it's in a pink because it's more likely. When people, it's a very big thing here in the U.S. about the Valentine's, I guess.
Yeah.
I like pink. I wear pink myself.
And I just like give an idea. Okay, give it a pink, and it's easier for the millennials to pick it. And having like a flowery at, you know, for the skirt, mm-hmm. and it has pocket too, on the side. Yeah.
Was it hard for you to make the differentiation coming from design, how you grew up designing for Indonesian women, and now being able to show all the skin?
So,
like you have a cutaway in that dress.
Yes, yeah, a cutaway. This is like like I call it a señorita, like a Spanish. It's a, you know, kind of like try to fit in the body, but you still look elegant in a way. It's not like so crazy open, but then you can like see a simple and elegant confidence mm-hmm. and classy in a way. So in Indonesia, usually, you know, we need to cover our shoulder, you know, not mm-hmm. really open, kind of those
short things. Sleeves.
Yeah, short sleeve, at least, you know, having, yeah. you know, cover your shoulder a little bit. But here, this is a Shanghai, you know, it got inspirations from China for the color, you know, the
That's
color
neat.
At the neck. Yeah. And then I put like a tulip skirt type, and I play with the ribbon. I know like when people like doing sewing, it's not easy because it requires certain skills to sew that. And I, again, is doing it for the pink because I'm thinking about, you know, Valentine's for February.
No, I know models are always skinny and all, but do you offer things for people that are more full-figured, shall we say?
Right. Actually, for my case, that's a good question because a lot of people, biggest beauty, that's for me. And then they will like, you know, big and beauty, and they would like to look cute in a way. Mm-hmm. So I use the sizes 0 until 12. Mm-hmm. So then if it is more than that, you know, we kind of have make a custom sizing.
That's nice that you offer that.
Right. So it's not easy because I start from scratch. I start from my sketches. I draw it, start from my mood board, and then doing some draping from the dress form mm-hmm. and translate it into the pattern making. So I do my own pattern. It's not like try to copy like the commercial one. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of work, but I'm so happy about, you know, how it looks with people. So.
What do you think about your experience at the Moore College of Art?
Moore, it's an old school way. You know, when I was there, they did not show us how to do with the, you know, they're not really strongly recommend us to do like a computer stuff. They show us how
really?
They did it from very old time. You know, like you do the draping with the body and then put it into, bring on the table and then transfer it to the paper and then fit it again and then make corrections, right? But I guess when I went to the manufacturing, you know, like we have a classes in New York, I usually attend it every year. They said that's the right thing because the computer usually do the straight line, but our body is never straight line. Mm-hmm. So the more, I think the dress is when the more curve you see, the more likely it's going to be more expensive, I guess. And then that's what we call it, the constructions and also from the fabric itself. Mm-hmm. So I try not to, less polyester in a way, because polyester, sometimes it's not good on your skin. You feel kind of like itchy or maybe mm-hmm. like hot, you know. So then I try to make it like more natural. Mm-hmm. You know? But, you know, it's always a price, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite dress?
So my favorite,
especially look
dress,
at this collection.
Yeah,
amazing.
This one is Sadum. I call it from other my ulos, which is the top. It's kind of like, you know, Eva. Eve,
it's gorgeous.
You know, yeah, so this is the top, and then you know the bright color itself. It's a green and red. It represents how we came from the mountain. And this one is a dark blue. It's a usually this one is a when. It's kind of a sad thing because usually we carry these ulos for funeral, mm-hmm. but it means like a blessing to send them to heaven in a way, because majority of us like Christian in a way. So then I kind of call it as like ocean diplo. And then this is the red one that I wear. And if you take a look at the cut itself, it got inspired by Japanese cut and Korean style, because mm-hmm. this is like more loose in a way, but it's kind of like still sassy and then flowing. As you know, as is walking, and this one, it's a longer dress for the evening wear. The top is the handlooming from North Sumatra, you know, and then I combine with this is a solid fabric that I you know I tried to make it from U.S. So the top will be from Indonesia, mm-hmm. and then the bottom one is going to be from the U.S. and manufacturing here.
How often do you have new lines?
New lines, I try to make it like every year at least I add like five new, you know, inspirations. When, you know, from I travel somewhere, I just come back from Netherlands and then, you know, like knowing what's come up next and try to see like, you know, like bring the inspirations from the nature and mm-hmm. also how people choose their dresses, the colors and the mm-hmm. style or maybe the weather and then bring me into, you know, another collection.
That's great. Yeah. I really enjoyed getting to know you.
Thank you.
No, Paul did as well. He's writing down some notes about some pink dresses. So we're about out of time, but could you spell the name of your website so people can find it?
Sure. It's www.batakbule.com, BATAKBULE.com. And we do have Instagram, Bataksbule, and Facebook, and also tweeting.
Nice. Hopefully yeah. you'll be sharing some from today's interview later.
Sure.
That's
I know some of your...
Luck. That's the luck. That's yeah. the story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, though.
Thank you so much. And we have a guest next week. It's going to be Bruce Maude, who's the president and media relations and an author, and I hope you'll join us again soon. Thank you so much.